The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Allow me to read the words of God. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Amen." At the 24th Academy Awards ceremony held on February 26, 2012, one movie went on to win 5 awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Best Costume Design, and Best Original Score. The story takes place in Hollywood in the late 1920s and to early 1930s, about the time when silent cinema falls out of fashion and is replaced by the so-called talkies. The movie is 1 hour and 40 minutes long and is a silent film with sound heard for the first time only an hour into the movie. Even though the movie relies only on the gestures and expressions of the actors and the background music, it is far from boring. Although the mainstream trend in today's movie industry is to make movies more real than life by applying 3D or even 4D technology and computer graphics, this movie, which is presented in black and white and is silent for most part, was chosen as the movie of the year 2011 by Time magazine. The title of this movie is The Artist. The movie focuses on the relationship between two contrasting characters. George Valentin, a top star for silent cinema, and Pepe Miller, the rising new star for the next generation talking movies. Valentin was Hollywood's top actor whose movies were always box office hits during the silent cinema days. But he slowly loses his place with the rise of the talkies. The audience only wants to see talkies and actors who can sing and dance become the new stars of Hollywood. Studios stop producing silent cinemas and nobody wants Valentin anymore. However, Valentin is unable to accept the change from silent movies to talkies and slowly becomes a has-been. He thinks silent cinema is the true form of art and pauses everything to produce and direct his own silent movie. The movie, however, is a failure. Valentin ends up losing everything, including his popularity, wealth, and family. The reason this top star from the silent movies became ruined was because he dismissed the rise of the talking movies as just a fad. Accepting change is always an awkward process. It takes effort and can sometimes be scary. Accepting change means throwing away what's familiar and going against the present form of yourself. It is truly a difficult process. That is why, rather than accept change, we sometimes try to stay where we are and resist what is new and unfamiliar. Valentin refused to accept change and paid a heavy price for it. He had to sell off his possessions in an auction and even ends up selling his clothes to a pawn shop to survive. he eventually goes completely bankrupt. Valentine, who once used to be the top star of the silent cinema, ends up fading away silently alongside silent movies. There is a very interesting intertitle in the movie. When Pepi the actress tells Valentine the era of silent cinema has come to an end and that now it was the time of talking movies, Valentine gives this response: I paved that way for you. This line reminds us of John the Baptist. It contains double significance of self-sacrifice and alienation. Taken at face value, the phrase is about self-sacrifice. But in the context of the movie, what is truly being said is, you are what you are today because of my self-sacrifice. How dare you alienate me like this? Valentine, who was once the top star of his time, now has to yield his place of honor to a newcomer against his will. Anyone in his place would feel resentment. If, despite all, Valentine was truly expressing self-sacrifice and not resentment of being alienated, Valentine could have existed in an admirable manner. He could have been more like John the Baptist if he had acted this way. But oftentimes in real life, this is not the case. This is human nature. We don't want to leave when it's time for us to leave. We don't want to give up what we think is ours to the end. We want to keep our places and our glory to the end. We don't realize that leaving when it's time to leave, dying to yourself when it's time to die, is doing what's truly good to us. We are foolishly and stubbornly holding on to our desires and only realize the truth when we lose everything. Herod the Great, who ordered the massacre of babies under the age of 2, and Herod Antipas, who had John the Baptist beheaded for criticizing him. These two Herods were all such humans. However, these Herods are not just figures of the past who appear in history. They are a form of who we are today. We must remember that we could be the Herods of today if we live in refusal of God's word, who show us for what we really are. In the Gospel of Luke, John the Baptist is portrayed as belonging to a different time from Jesus. This is Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. Luke says the law and the prophets were until John, implying that John belongs to the times of the law and the prophet. That is, he belongs to the old times. Also, he records the account of John the Baptist's imprisonment before the baptism of Jesus, intentionally dividing the times of John the Baptist from the times of Jesus. By setting aside the time of Jesus from the time of John the Baptist, Luke is emphasizing that Jesus was the beginning of a new age. If so, how was the age of Jesus, the new age, different from the age until John the Baptist, the old age? Jesus approached John the Baptist when he was giving baptisms in the River Jordan. It was to get baptized. Baptism is a rite conducted in the meaning that one is now dead to sin and greed and live to God's word. Because Jesus was without sin, he did not need to get baptized. So when Jesus came to get baptized, John the Baptist was surprised. John asks him, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" This is Jesus' answer in Matthew 3:15. But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. John the Baptist consents only after Jesus tells him, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This passage explains the purpose of Jesus getting baptized even when he doesn't need to be. The purpose is to fulfill all righteousness. The Son of God was to kneel before a human, and thus a sinner, to be baptized as sinners get baptized. This is Jesus, the Son of God, dying to himself. And dying to himself was the way of fulfilling God's righteousness in saving sinners. By dying to himself and laying down his pride, Jesus opened a new era of fulfilling God's righteousness. Unlike the age of John the Baptist, the old age, the age of Jesus, the new age, began with dying to oneself and laying down one's pride. Jesus gave up his high throne in the heavens and lowered himself to become a human, to kneel before a sinner and get baptized. Thus, the new era of fulfilling God's righteousness was begun. Does that mean the times of John the Baptist, the times of the law and the prophets, was not about fulfilling God's righteousness? That is not true. The times of the law and the prophets was about upholding the law in order to fulfill God's righteousness. People tried extremely hard to uphold the law those days. In their efforts to obey God's command to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, detailed laws about the Sabbath was divided into 39 categories. Each of the 39 categories had 6 more detailed provisions added, making it a total of 234 regulations. But despite all this, they were unable to get saved. Do you know why? The reason is explained in Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness and that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." This passage tells us that although the Israelites had a zeal for God, The zeal was not for fulfilling God's righteousness, but for their own righteousness. They claim it was for God, but it was not for God. It was zeal for their own righteousness, and that is why they could not get saved. Having zeal for God inside you isn't enough to turn you into a person living in the times of Jesus, the New Age. Only when that zeal is solely for God's righteousness can you be clothed in garments fit for a person of the new era. This is what happened when Jesus was staying at his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. His mother and brothers came to see him. The Lord saw them, and this is what he said in Mark 3:32 to 35. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus' answer regarding his mother and brothers show just how important it is to do the will of God. This is not all. Matthew 7:21-23 goes, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Not only those who called on God's name, but even those who prophesied and cast out demons in God's name could end up not getting saved. So how could someone who prophesied and cast out demons in God's name not get saved? The reason is that all their zeal was not for God's righteousness, but for their own righteousness. The difference between the age of the law and the prophets, the old age until John the Baptist, and the age that begins with Jesus, the new age, depends on whether your zeal for God is actually a zeal for your own righteousness or for God's righteousness. If so, what is zeal for your own righteousness and what is zeal for God's righteousness? When Jesus opened a new era, he kneeled before a sinner to be baptized like a sinner. He died to himself and gave up his pride in order to fulfill God's righteousness. Based on this, we know, without dying to self and giving up your pride, without self-denial, you can never fulfill God's righteousness. And that zeal would only be zeal for your own righteousness. So you can tell whether you are of the old age or the new age, whether you are someone who fulfills your own righteousness or God's righteousness, by seeing if you are giving up your pride and dying to yourself in the place in your life. Jesus started his ministry by kneeling before a sinner. When he did, this was what was heard from the heavens. This is verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Allow me to tell a personal anecdote. When I was a second grade student in middle school, my father was exactly the age I am today. Today, my father is elderly and ill, so I need to take care of him, but back then, it was different. One day, I was walking with my younger brother, who is 1 year younger than me, home from school. The way from our school to home was to walk along the school grounds and then turn into a small street to climb a slope to where our house was. It was not a long distance. But that day, as we turned into the small street, we came across a dozen boys of my age. I instinctively knew they were bullies. So I averted my eyes and tried to walk past them. But they called out. I immediately told my brother to run home to call for help. The bullies surrounded me and told me to give them all the money I had on me. They started threatening me. If I hid any money and they found out, I'd get a beating for every 10-1 I'd hidden. These boys were not much older than me, but because there were a dozen of them threatening me at once, I was scared and didn't know what to do. Right then, I heard a shout from up the hill. I turned my eyes towards the hill, and I saw my father in his pajamas and wearing slippers shouting. In that instant, I don't know where I got the strength, but somehow I found this strength in me, and I lunged at the boys surrounding me. I picked the one that looked the weakest and started hitting him furiously. I was going to focus on just one boy. I wonder what has become of that boy and how he's doing these days. The reason I got such a surge of strength when I had been paralyzed in fear was I heard my father shout out in my defense. My father was looking at me and shouting for me. I felt, when I saw that, I became an incredible strong person. I felt invincible. That's when I realized, I can become a strong person if my father is with me. Dear brothers and sisters, if the thought that your earthly father is with you is enough to make you this strong, how much stronger would you feel when you believe that the Almighty Father who created the entire universe is with you? God's hand is not shortened, and he's holding me. He has given his only son for me. What have I to fear and worry about in my life? Jesus proclaimed a new era of fulfilling God's righteousness and kneeled before a sinner. A voice was heard from heaven. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This was Father God's encouragement to his Son in a sinful world. This voice gave Jesus more strength and courage than all the troops in the world. This was the shout of Father's love to his Son, who left his throne in heaven to come to the lowly position of a human. And this was his Father's cry, thinking of all the humiliation and insult Jesus would suffer through the 3 years of his ministry. The Son of God, in order to fulfill God's righteousness, knelt before a sinner, giving up his pride and dying to himself. If we are true Christians who believe and follow Christ, shouldn't we also give up not only our greed and desires, but also our pride in order to fulfill God's righteousness? Only then will we hear the voice from heaven to Jesus 2,000 years ago also tell us the same thing from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters who are loved by God, today is the fifth Sunday of Lent when we think upon the Lord who died for us and repent. Let us follow the example of the Lord who knelt before a sinner, giving up his pride and dying to himself in order to fulfill God's righteousness. By dying to self every day, let us live a life not for our own righteousness, but for God's righteousness. This is how we live, clothed in garments fit for the people of Jesus' time, the new era. Let us pray. In this fifth Sunday of Lent, when we think upon the Lord who suffered and died on the cross for me, I look back on myself who mistakenly thought I was living for God's righteousness when I was actually living for my own righteousness. Jesus was able to become a sacrifice on the cross to atone for sinners because he was able to kneel before a sinner. He was not a sinner, yet he lived among sinners. He was without sin, yet he died with sinners on the cross so as to fulfill God's righteousness that all sinners be saved. Help us to remember the Lord and to remember that without dying to oneself, God's righteousness could never be fulfilled. Lord, in this season of repentance, help us do away with the desires of our flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life. The church on this earth has become corrupt as corrupt can be, because instead of dying to self, it is more intent on fulfilling its desires. Help us not commit the foolishness of throwing away eternal life for the sake of a false sense of pride given by the people of the world. Help us to walk confidently in the path of the truth as people fit for the new era by dying to self. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.